from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Let's ask Daryl, our Browns beat reporter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
It's Browns game coming up later.
Yeah, Daryl, big Browns game, but more importantly right now, Facebook Marketplace. Have you ever met a stranger and done a deal?
No, I've not. And what does Ken have a kid that needs a clunker or something?
No. Whoa. A 442, sir? Please.
Let me tell you something. What if do you need an 87 Cutlass for?
Kenny, this kid's got the balls to it that American can haul ass, buddy. Girl. This is an American classic. I want to see the undercarriage of it because it is winter. It will be wintertime soon. This thing looks like it was garaged, though. This thing's got something.
Well, congratulations to you on all your success. Money.
It's only $6,500, Daryl. You want to go halvesies? I can drive it during the weekend.
Only $6,500?
Yeah. How many miles on it?
103,000. Ooh, it's got an automatic.
Oh, boy.
Well, all right. Well, they have a homecoming dress.
All right, Daryl.
I've never done the Facebook Marketplace thing, no.
Daryl, we have had a frank discussion about how... Well, I got to be honest. I expect the offense to struggle out of the gates. I know we have Mary Kay on this week. She did not. Ken Dorsey thinks they're going to be great. You've heard Quincy Avery. You've heard Deshaun Watson. Nothing but unbridled enthusiasm and confidence for that offense. I'm expecting the opposite just based on how little they did. Who's closer to the truth here?
I almost think they're trying to talk themselves into believing what they're saying at this point. Like, you don't need to sell it. You know, Quincy Avery doesn't need to go on national radio to sell Deshaun Watson still good. Like, I feel like they're overselling right now.
Oh, Daryl, that's a horrible thing to hear. That is horrible to hear.
I know it's horrible to hear, Ken, but I always get nervous when you're selling this much right now. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I get nervous. You know, I'm not saying that it can't happen, but... All I know is what my 4 eyes saw during training camp.
So you're saying that Ken Dorsey is doing the prosperity gospel of the NFL?
I kind of think so.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. Honest to goodness, I hope I'm dead wrong. I hope they come out Sunday and they score 34 points. And, you know, Deshaun Watson looks like he's back and he's running around and he throws for 300 yards. I hope I'm wrong, but I am leaning more toward the offense is not going to be as fluid as they're saying it's going to be. And also, I think that's okay. If Deshaun struggles a little bit on Sunday, I promise to wake up Monday morning with you guys and not kill the guy for it. He needs reps. He needs snaps. He hasn't played since last fall. He hasn't played a lot of football since 2020. Like, I'm not expecting this thing to be running like a well-oiled machine come Sunday.
Daryl Ryder joining us here, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Well, it is you kind of took it from me. That is my opinion, that I think that the offense is probably going to struggle because they don't have a lot of experience together. I think they can win the game defensively.
Yes.
But, I'm sorry. I think that people have been waiting 10 months. We've been talking about one half of football for 10 months.
Right.
And if he goes out and he plays poorly, I hope they win. But I may have to say that they won in spite of him. I hope not. I mean, there's a lot of things. I just have to give the truth here, man. I cannot sit here and make excuses going into year 3. No matter what, it's going to hurt me to say it. I hope it doesn't come to that, but I cannot make excuses.
Yeah, look, I'm not trying to make excuses either. I'm just trying to be fair about the situation and realistic about the situation as well. That's just where I'm at right now, Ken. If we get a month into the season and things are still rusty on that side of the ball, then there's problems, right? But you know, I'll give you a week or two to get it together and get comfortable again, and you know, get things rolling with the new offense and you know, new formations and all those type of things, the choice routes, and that's fine. But you know, with the way this schedule lays out for the Browns, they don't have a tremendous margin for error, especially in this division. So it's imperative that they get off to another hot start. Under Kevin Stefanski, the Browns usually in the first four games, they're typically 3-1. And when you look at the schedule right now, I see another 3-1 being very, very possible. So if they don't get it done Sunday, the world is not ending. The sky is not falling. But, you know, to your point, Ken, at some point, yes, I am going to expect that Deshaun Watson plays like a top-tier quarterback.
Dale Reiter with us right now talking Cleveland Browns football. So left tackle is something obviously we have been really dialed in on. We thought, hey, Jedrick Wills, all right, he's out. Right. Then it was Jack Conklin, and then yesterday we were hearing from some of our spies, it might be James Hudson.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on this?
Yeah, I think that the plan is that if Jack Conklin can go, that it will be Jack Conklin left tackle. But I'm starting to waver as to whether or not Jack Conklin will actually be able to go. So then James Hudson is plan C. Plan A was Jed Wills. That's not happening. Jed told us earlier this week that he would not start, and then he also reiterated to us he's just trying to get out there and just start moving around a little bit and see how things feel. Him not practicing yesterday was a clear-cut sign he's not playing Sunday. So plan B is Conklin, I'm starting to think that there now is a chance that I was a little over-optimistic about his progress and his ability to play. So if it's not going to be Conklin, then it will be. It's looking like it's going to be James Hudson. But the reason why we all zeroed in on that is because it's critically important. And we all saw in the preseason how much they struggled on the edges with protection. We really saw it in those practices with the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, do you think they get rid of the ball quicker because of that? Do you think that David Njoku might have a bigger game, especially with the inexperience that Dallas has at the linebacker position?
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously I'm expecting a big year from Njoku. And I say that realizing that he's coming off a big year and his, you know, his first Pro Bowl. But I just feel like the volume of one-on work that he has done with Mike Vrabel this year is going to pay him big, big dividends. And I asked him about it earlier this week, and he said he's more physical now. He's ready to be more physical than he's been in the past. So I think Njoku's in for a monster year, in my opinion. And, you know, as far as getting the ball out quickly, that's going to be on Deshaun. And I think that that's a timing thing, Ken. And frankly, that's where I think Deshaun is going to struggle the most, is on the timing thing and that clock and reading the pressure and when to get rid of the football and things like that. And that just, it has to work itself out through those snaps and game experience. Because again, he's not played a lot in the last 3-4 seasons. And so, you know, you know, I don't want to be putting the cart before the horse and getting fans all gassed up about just how incredible this offense is going to be. And then if, you know, they come out of the gate a little slow on Sunday, all the fans are going to be like, what's going on, right? So I do think it's fair to expect a little slow start there.
David Bell, in the words of Lima, Dunzo Cremunzo with the Cleveland Browns.
I don't know about Dunzo Cremunzo with the Browns.
What are you hearing? What is Daryl hearing?
I think there's a chance you could see him back on the practice squad here or something. You know, they clearly need a roster spot for some, you know, somewhere. So he was the sacrificial lamb, if you will, but I do think there's a chance that you've not seen the last of David Bell.
So my dream of him being a Pro Bowler for the Browns can live on?
It lives on, Ken. Right. You and Andy Baskin.
Oh, Baskin liked him too.
Oh, yesterday was a tragic day for Andy Baskin.
I'm not going to ever be in the same conversation as Andy Baskin, so that's the end of that. By the way, you can listen to both Daryl and Andy Baskin in their wonderful podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Get it live on the free Odyssey app. It's fantastic. Subscribe to it. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. They got post-game editions. It's fantastic. Anyway, I've said fantastic three times because that's how much I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. Four times, and that's the end of it. Daryl, is it safe to say that Andrew Berry might have a blind spot for wide receivers because he's traded for three of them? Yeah. He's had to cut two and trade away one, but the one that he did trade away, he did almost have a 1,000-yard season there in the sixth round. So where do you stand on him in the wideouts?
They're three through sixth rounders. If these were first and second round picks, I'd be a little nervous. Like if it was like Brian Robiski and Mohamed Massaqua, right? Remember when the Browns drafted both of those guys in the second round?
Yes.
And they sold us on that this is the future at the position for this franchise and, you know, all that. If it was that type of a situation, I'll hear you on the blind spot. But once you get in that third round and through the seventh, I just think it's a guessing game at that point. So I'm not going to hold Barry's feet to the fire because, these picks aren't panning out. I do think there's something to be said for wide receiver development, maybe, too. They're very high on Cedric Tillman. And, you know, they are talking like he's going to have I don't want to say significant role this year, but he's going to show some tremendous growth this year. That's their belief. But, you know, those are things that we heard about, you know, some of these other guys that come through here, right? We heard that about Donovan Peoples-Jones. We heard that about Anthony Schwartz. We've heard that about David Bell. We've heard that about Michael Woods. So I'm not going to hold his feet to the fire and say that he has a blind spot for these guys just because of where they're being selected in the draft. If anything, I'll go the other side of that coin, Ken. And he just demonstrates to him the importance of the position because the top three wide receivers he's traded for in three, you know, over the course of 3 years, and then he keeps using mid-round picks trying to strike lightning in a bottle and, you know, get some more help with that position.
All right, Daryl, you watched the game last night. What did you think in terms of a measuring stick performance? Those two teams, how close are the Browns to those teams?
Well, I'll say this. I thought I was watching the Vikings joint practices that first Baltimore series with all the flags for illegal formations because that's what was happening to the Browns in those joint practices. The tackles were not lining up close enough to the line of scrimmage. So hopefully they have gotten that situation corrected because the league is, you know, pinpointing that as a point of emphasis here. So hopefully we don't see a flag fest early in the game. By the way, real heartbroken for Raven fan this morning. Missed it by a toe. It was a great game. NFL's best entertainment you'll find in pro sports right now. But as far as where the Browns measure up to both of those teams, we're going to find out. Ravens are on the schedule twice. Chiefs are on the schedule later in the season. I picked the Chiefs to three-peat. I just feel like they are just the unstoppable force right now in the NFL. I do feel like the Browns, roster-wise, can compete with both those football teams.
Is that good for the NFL if they three-peat?
I think so. I don't think it's a negative, Ken, because the games are compelling. It's not like the Chiefs are just absolutely dominating everybody and running them off the field. They're just finding ways to win, and they get a little, just like last night, got a little lucky late in the closing seconds there. They, like I said, won it by a toe, right? So you need a little luck. You also need very, very good players, and you need an elite quarterback. And, you know, the Browns are going to see pretty much every elite quarterback in the National Football League this year. We're going to find out how good this Browns defense really, truly is or was last year. Some smoke and mirrors. I think they're good, but you know, we'll see, because it starts Sunday with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, going back to what you said about, you know, them trying to sell themselves or buy what they're selling. Again, Jim Schwartz has kind of talked tough about the defense the entire preseason leading up to this game.
And I love that, by the way. Well, I do.
I kind of want to ask you, like, Jim Schwartz is very, very accomplished. A lot of this with the offense, though, is new. Wouldn't you say you can get away with more truth when you when you're on sturdier ground and you've accomplished more? Because, you know, right now we don't know about Deshaun Watson. We don't know about Ken Dorsey helping out. We don't know what this offense is going to be. So, yeah, they're going to definitely toe the line and say, oh, yeah, everything's great and this is going to be great.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that Jim Schwartz has been every time we try and ask him a positive question, he's like, our red zone defense stunk last year. We were not good on the road last year. We got to fix that. We got to fix this. Jim is just refreshingly honest and tough about his unit. And he praises his players. He praises Myles Garrett. He praises Denzel Ward and things like that. I love the quote he had yesterday about this matchup and Sunday, and you know, he loves the matchup. CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott going against what he believes to be the best secondary in the NFL. Those are his guys. But also at the same time, he's like, we better come to play or it's not going to be a fun afternoon for us. So I really love Jim Schwartz's approach, both on the field when it comes to practice and dealing with his players and coaching them up and things like that. And I also like the way he answers questions, even if sometimes he comes off like he's the grumpy old man in the room.
Daryl Rutter, brought to you by Chabon Jewelers. Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Now, you don't give your prediction until Sunday. Is that right?
I think that's the way I'm supposed to do it, but I can give you a prediction if you would like a prediction.
Right now.
Would you like the season prediction?
Both.
Okay. Well, I've got the Browns winning on Sunday by 4.
All right.
I think I'm going to change the score. My initial prediction that I did on the podcast, they said Browns 24, Cowboys 20. I think I'm selling the offenses a little short there, so I may tweak the score. But I think the Browns win by 4 on Sunday. And for the season, they're 10-7, and they get the number 6 seed in the AFC for a wild card spot.
All right, sexy. Daryl, we thank you very much for the time, buddy.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the game this weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
To play or not to play, that is the question for Jed Wills. There's a lot of people saying he doesn't want to play, and then there's some other people saying I don't even want him out there. That and whether or not we can use rust as an excuse Monday morning if Deshaun Watson doesn't play well. Hopefully it doesn't come to that to begin with. Hopefully he plays well and the Browns win. But we can't fast forward to Monday now, can we? But to talk about all these things, we welcome in Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. She's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. I'm getting by, Mary Kay. I am pensive, though, about the status of Jed Wills, not just on Sunday, but for the future. He says, I'm not starting. Then he's like, well, I didn't say I wouldn't play. So what do we got? I imagine it's going to be Jack Conklin over there at left tackle on Sunday. I know the question is maybe between him and James Hudson. Would we see Jed Wills at all on Sunday, or are we just moving forward to week 2 with him?
I think it would be really tough for him to rejoin practice on Wednesday and then get out there and play on Sunday. We can't rule it out. He didn't rule himself out, and certainly Kevin didn't rule him out. But I think it would be very difficult. I've watched DeJuan Jones work his way back since May from his own torn MCL, and it takes a little bit of time. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jack is out there. Maybe they'll even alternate a couple of guys over there if they're not sure that Jack is ready for a full game coming off of his own injury. So they're keeping everyone guessing right now, but I feel like Jack will be involved to some degree.
Mary Kay, do you think we will see a traditional new game plan, whatever that would be under the new offensive coordinator? Do you think they'd be a little hesitant given the uncertainty on that offensive line?
Oh, I think that you will see all of the new stuff that they've put in. They're ready to roll out their new offense. They're excited about it. It maximizes Deshaun's skill set. It really highlights and focuses these receivers and what they can do, including with the yards after catch and things like that. So this is going to be a new offense. And if Jack is in there, certainly he's a two-time first-team All-Pro. He can handle whatever they throw at him, and they're not going to hold anything back.
New offense, so what we see during the preseason doesn't matter? We're going to see something kind of different on Sunday?
Oh, they didn't show very much in preseason at all. In fact, they didn't even play anybody in preseason, including Deshaun Watson. So everything will be different. Everything's pretty much been kept under wraps. They've worked on a lot of the stuff since they closed practice to us a couple of weeks ago. So it will be different in every way from what we saw in preseason, especially in terms of the personnel, because nobody was really out there.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. So can we talk rust when it comes to Deshaun Watson on Monday morning?
You know, I mean, I do think it might take him a little while to get back to peak form. He hasn't played in a game since November 12th. And so, yeah, I do think learning a new offense and coming off surgery and not having played for so long, it might take him a little while to warm up. But I think it's going to come together. So if it's not a well-oiled machine this Sunday against the Cowboys, I don't think anybody should panic about that. I think people should recognize and understand that it might take a little while. These guys are learning a new scheme. There are choice routes that require a lot of timing and precision and communication between the receiver and the quarterback. And so there are going to be some kinks to work out here, and they might not have it all figured out in week one, but it will continue to get better.
We heard the quarterback guru for Deshaun Watson, Quincy Avery, say the velocity might be at an all-time high for Deshaun Watson. Watson said yesterday he thinks he is still elite, says there are no limitations. Do you think that they are just trying to will this to happen, or do you really believe that the belief is there that we're going to get the Deshaun Watson from Houston starting this Sunday?
Well, once again, I think they 100% believe that Deshaun Watson is going to be the Houston version of himself, but I think, once again, everyone must recognize that it might not look like that from the jump. Now, the arm strength looks like it's there. The velocity looks like it's there. He has worked very, very hard. But, again, I think that people should just perhaps temper the enthusiasm or the expectations a tiny bit for game one. He has not felt the speed of the game. Mike Zimmer is going to be throwing a lot at him. When they practiced against the Vikings threw a lot at these guys. And they confuse them, they cross them up with different things, and that is exactly what Mike Zimmer is going to be doing. He's going to be moving Micah Parsons around all over the place. He's going to be faking the blitz. He's going to be giving multiple looks, pre-snap, post-snap. I mean, there's just a lot that's going to be going on out there, and once again, you're going to be having receivers that are learning their quarterback for the first time in Jerry Jeudy and some others, and so, yeah, I don't know that he's going to go out there and look exactly like he did in that second half against Baltimore on Sunday. But, again, I think it will be a work in progress, and it will continue to improve.
All right, lowered expectations, getting you excited. Brown Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Can't wait.
Well, Mary Kay, Ken attacked me earlier in the show.
And I will continue to do it after Mary Kay joins
us. Because I laid out a bunch of reasons why they might not start out that hot in this game, why they might lose this game, and why that might be okay because it's an NFC team. And for all the reasons that we've just talked about with Watson, I mean, through the years, in his first game, he has absolutely struggled. I've crunched the numbers, Mary Kay, and on average, in his six debuts, each and every year that he has played in the NFL, 16 of 28 for 181 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 3.5 sacks per game, and a quarterback rating of 73.8. He has struggled in his openers. So it stands to reason why that might be the case here the seventh time around.
Well, every year is different. Every team is different. Every supporting cast is different. He's got a lot of weapons on this football team. There are a lot of places to go with the ball when he gets in trouble. He can also run it. There are so many things that he can do, and he's back in an offense that he feels very, very comfortable in. So I think you can kind of throw those numbers out the window, and they're going to game plan this so that he can have success in this first game. Again, Mike Zimmer is going to have a say in that matter, and he's going to try to do everything he possibly can to confuse this new offense. He knows that these guys are still learning it, and so he's going to be doing everything in his power to make sure that Deshaun doesn't get the ball out quickly and he can't go to the right place with the ball. But he will be looking for the open man, the man who gets open the fastest. He did say that yesterday. And as long as, and these guys are all really, really good separators. We can see that in practice. You can see Jerry Jeudy getting open. You can see Amari, the great route runner, and how he does it. So I think that it's set up for success. We'll just have to see how it goes in week one.
I'm going somewhere with this, but this is going to sound silly. Who is the most important member of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, right now, it's got to be Deshaun Watson. There's no question in my mind about that. He is the most important member of the Browns right now, and it comes down to him because everything else can be going well, but if your QB isn't right, then the team will follow that. So it's got to be him.
I agree. There were people who disagreed with me, though, and I'll get to that in a moment. But who is the second most important member of the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going with Myles Garrett there. If Myles Garrett can wreck the game and make sure that Dak can't do what he wants to do, then you know, on that side of the ball, that's the most important player. So I think these are pretty easy questions in my mind.
See, I don't, for whatever reason, I'm like, I know about Myles. I rely on Myles, but I don't find him to be the second most important. I just look at that offensive line. I'm like, man, they got to protect this guy. If he goes down again, this means more than just this season. This is bad. I think that the offensive line, I think the left tackle is probably the second most important right now.
Well, I'm sorry, but I would disagree with you on that.
I'm stupid. I'm allowed to be stupid. I could be stupid. It's okay.
No, it's okay. It's just when you have a generational player, a dominant player, the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, who can take over a game and wreck a game and who has the mindset that he has this season where he knows that he has to go out there and be Superman, basically. I just think that that's going to be more important than what's going to be happening at left tackle. They can chip the left tackle. They can give him help. They can game plan around that and do what they need to do. But if Myles is over there doing his thing, that can make or break the game.
Mary Kay, do we have any idea how the Browns are going to approach the brand new kickoff in the NFL?
Well, once again, I think that's going to be a work in progress like everything else. I think as the weeks go by, teams will approach it differently. You know, we've seen things in practice of, you know, different guys returning and some things that they're going to be doing, which we can't really say or report on, but I think it'll be pretty, you know, standard or basic, the things mostly that you would expect in the beginning. And as they see how that goes, they can get a little bit more exotic with it.
Are people right to question whether or not Jed Wills has a passion for the game?
No, I don't think so. I think Jed's personality might lend itself to that sort of speculation, but I think Jed is just more of an easygoing kind of guy. That's just who he is. It doesn't mean he doesn't have fire and passion for the game. I think Jed Wills right now is working very hard and trying very hard to come back from a knee injury. And people don't know what that's like. They don't know what's going on in that knee. None of us really know exactly why it has taken him so long to get back out there. But for whatever reason it has, I don't know if there were, whatever, setbacks or complications. They've told us that there haven't been. But I know that he's there every day working really hard and that he does want to be out there and he wants to be great at this. And he's got good friends on the team. It's not like everybody's questioning what the heck he's doing. It's not like that at all. So I think once he can get back out there, I think people will be happy with his performance this season.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours, and we will talk to you again soon.
Mary Kay, did you lock in?
Never mind.
Did you lock in a record for the Cleveland Browns this year?
Oh, my goodness, I didn't even ask.
You know what? I have not written it yet, so that will be out tomorrow morning.
All right, we don't want you to scoop yourself on that.
I want her to give away what she can sell.
Well, she, you know, we need people to subscribe and to click and to get their subscriptions. So, Mary Kay, we appreciate that. Didn't mean to try to get you in trouble. Do you have them finishing in the top two in the division?
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Oh, you're going to have to wait for that, too.
Whoa! Hey, Mary Kay, how close were they to trading for Brandon Ayuk?
Well, it came down to basically what Brandon Ayuk wanted to do is the way that it's been described to me by some people. And he had certain places he was really excited to go. And all along, maybe he thought that this was going to happen, that he would end up back in San Francisco. But I do think that if he would have signed off on the deal, there's a good chance he would have been here.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That would be Baskin and I'd be Phelps. Coming up on Sunday, Browns against the Dallas Cowboys to start the season. We're all sad that Jim Donovan is not able to continue in his job. We're all happy that the gentleman who joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline will be taking over. Mr. Andrew Siciliano, who's been a friend of the show since day seven here on our show. Andrew, good to have you with us.
Hey, hey. Congratulations.
Guys, it is good. Thank you. It is good to be with you. And yeah, let me echo what you just said there, Phelps. Not the circumstances, certainly, that you expect that call to happen. And the man's an icon, and he carries himself with such amazing class, and he brings such joy to every game and joy to all the fans, including me. And like I told him, I used to sync up the radio to the TV as much as I could, living as far away as I do. And when I was working, there were a lot of Sundays when I was working, I would sit in my car and listen to Sirius until they would play his highlights with Doug. I mean, and the way Jim has always carried himself with such class, and they are big shoes to fill. It is a humbling honor. And it is good to be here talking to you guys, as we have for so many years.
And we will continue to. Is it true that it was make or break? You had to eat a sandwich with mayonnaise on it to get this gig?
Because you know why? You know why, Andrew?
What's that?
Because this is why.
Mayonnaise is a pox on the earth. It is. Is mayonnaise the sponsor of the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, by the way?
Should I know that now?
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to want to board
on that one. Yeah. No, I would not have eaten a mayonnaise sandwich.
Wow. Right, I just want to make sure. Want to make sure we got you on the record.
I might have.
That's great.
I might have, guys.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you're taking.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You're going to be calling games for a team that we just had our buddy Nick Costos on the show at 11 o'clock, who said, Yeah, and he was just kind of like, okay, we're all excited. He wasn't excited. And it's interesting to me because there's so many question marks about a team that we all think is really pretty good, Andrew.
And I think they're pretty good,
yeah.
And I'm excited.
I'm curious to see where this goes. We all know Deshaun Watson. That's the big deal for this team this year. We just talked to our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, a bit ago. Left tackle is going to be an interesting situation, and then I think ultimately tackle will be an interesting situation. Well, what's your gut tell you about all that?
My gut tells me, hold on a second, guys. I'm at an airport, and I'm trying to switch over to the AirPods, and it's not working.
It's okay. Oh, now it is. Just switched over.
Tackle is definitely something to be left tackle, definitely something to be concerned with, and especially against Micah Parsons. Now, back out bigger picture for a second and take the Cowboys game out of this equation. I am not a us-against-the-world person, although I realize us-against-the-world is very much a thing at all for it. Let's go. It does blow me away. It is jarring when I turn on my good friends at NFL Network, when I open up The Athletic, when I turn on, although currently with the ESPN DirecTV fight, I don't have ESPN, but when I, you know, see it elsewhere, it is stunning how, not that people aren't picking this team to do much, let's say make it to New Orleans, but they're not even picking them to make the playoffs. And that, to me, is stunning. I think this team last year reveled in being told, oh, no, the season's over because this guy's out. And then next week, now this guy's out. And then next week, now three more guys are out. And they embraced it. It was almost like, all right, well, it just makes it that much more interesting when we do go out and win, because I know we are going to go out and win. And I think that's the way you start this season. Left tackle? Oh, no, you can't beat the Cowboys without a left tackle. Who knows who the left tackle is going to be? I'm just projecting here when you're facing Micah Parsons and no one's going to pick you for the playoffs because you have on paper the most difficult schedule in the NFL. But you know what? Bring it on. Let's go. And one more thing about the schedule. The entire AFC North plays the schedule. Obviously, the Bengals finished last, so theirs is a bit easier. But the strength of schedule is based on last year's numbers, right? The second the ball kicks off tonight, those numbers are worthless. Yes, you have a general idea of what those teams did last year, but that was last year. It doesn't mean anything. So forget about strength of schedule. It's a week at a time, and I know that sounds cliche, but I'm ready.
All right, speaking of schedules, because I just want to pull back the curtain here a little bit, and I'm looking at your schedule. You've got Peacock on Saturday night, right? You've got Boise State and Oregon, and then you'll be doing Browns Cowboys
right now.
So you're going to Eugene now. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So are you going to keep doing Peacock all season long, or how are you going to be able to do this? I'm just curious.
No, that is a great question. I have a couple of games in September. That's all I'm signed up for right now.
Gotcha.
Pull back the curtain. I don't know what's coming up, but I know I got these two, and we're going to make it work. And the Browns are amazingly gracious, and I'm amazingly grateful to them for rolling with it. You know, I made the commitment to NBC, but obviously the Browns thing is not anything I would want to let go. So we're going to make it work. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, team efforts.
Yes.
And, you know, you could sleep on the plane, as I always like to tell people.
Nothing wrong with that. What's your next college game then?
Coming up in a couple of weeks, it might involve a team that plays in Columbus, but we'll let NBC announce it.
That would work out well, especially if they...
Way to go, Andy. You almost made him spill the beans.
Well, I wasn't going to say, but you might want to marshal your way to that game. I'm just not sure.
Okay. Hey, now.
Oh.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
That was pretty slick.
Yeah.
What happens in the second year of a defense under a coordinator after they make big steps in year number one?
You know, that is a great question because statistically, like, for example, this is the very first time we ever had a week one in which the best passing defense and the best total defense of the NFL faced off against a quarterback, fun fact, that led the league in passing touchdowns a year ago in Dak Prescott with his 36. So they start with a challenge. Obviously, every one of these games is a challenge. How do you get better? Probably a little bit better in the red zone. How do you get better? You know, the Denver game and the Houston game of the playoffs come to mind where, you know, the tackling seemed to disappear and they gave up too many explosives and it was just a bad day. Every defense has bad days. Every offense has bad days. Every team has bad days. I'm sure they will tell you that they need to cut down on those bad days. And look, just get the taste of Houston out of your mouth. People have been waiting. You've been waiting. I've been waiting. Fans have been waiting. 8 months now. to put that Houston game behind them. One game on Sunday against the Cowboys can't do that and can't totally erase that memory, but it would be a heck of a start.
Andrew, I'm just curious your thoughts on the modified kickoff rule. And, yeah. You know, we didn't see anything in the preseason. And do you think now suddenly we hit the real thing tonight? Are we going to start seeing more, you know, more play in this dynamic kickoff?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
It's fascinating because tonight you have two of the best special teams units in all of football. You have Dave Tobe, who's a legend coaching the Chiefs. Honestly, I'm surprised he has not gotten a shot as a head coach. And then you have a head coach for the Ravens who got to his job by being a special teams coach. From talking to coaches around the league during the preseason, honestly, most of them just want to kick it out of the back of the end zone and take it at the 30.
It's kind of a bummer,
isn't it? What they want to do.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, look, there are coaches who are trying to limit the damage, and a lot of them have just said, hey, listen, we'll let someone else figure it out. Like, there are going to be a couple of big returns. We'll see how it works. We'll see how teams play it. In other words, we're going to cautiously dip our toe in the water and then see how it goes. Now, not all those coaches plan to do that for 18 weeks or 17 games in 18 weeks. You know, I think they've all spent the summer, the off season, in the lab trying to draw stuff up and making sure they practice it when the media isn't present at camp, or really diving in these last 10 days when it's back to regular season media reporting rules at practice. There are plenty of teams that are going to come out and run outside zone or just treat it like a normal scrimmage play and try to draw something up like you would see in the run game. And then plenty of teams are going to, you know, bop it out of the back of the end zone. It is a brave new world, and for those who didn't watch the preseason, it looks unlike anything you have truly ever seen on a football field. It is weird.
It is. Andrew Siciliano joining us. Is there any chance that the league steps in during season if everybody's booming it out of the end zone and says, okay, we'll put it on the 35?
I don't think so. I think they missed that chance. They had that chance this past week. I really thought they were going to move it to the 35. Jerry Jones mentioned it. Sean Payton mentioned it. You know, I was on a call, a preseason production call with broadcasters, with the league office, as they were walking us through what we're going to see. And somebody asked that point blank, are you going to move it to the 35? And the answer wasn't a no. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, aha, it's going to happen. But they didn't. They had the chance. Let's see how it goes. Look, pass interference replay review was a one-year experiment. It failed miserably. They got rid of it. I don't think this is going to fail miserably, but I am fairly confident that whatever happens this year, it is going to be tweaked next year. I just don't think it's fair to do it in season. Like, I mean, imagine if they had different special teams rules week one than they did week nine. Right. And then week nine, a team's going, well, wait a minute. If this had happened week one, we would have had the ball here instead of there. And then we would have had a better shot at the end. But you don't want that. You don't want those arguments.
No, not at all. Hey, I just want to go back to the Browns here for a second. Do you think they have enough firepower at wide receiver? Because Jeff and I have been talking about that a little bit here. I mean, I feel good about Amari Cooper. Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy, like, we just there's got to be something more
step
there.
Step up, fellas.
Yeah.
Look, they want to unlock the guy that was a first-round pick in Jerry Jeudy that had flashes of brilliance and route running and amazing feet, who occasionally had trouble holding onto the football. But they want to unlock Alabama Jerry Jeudy. And I think they can. And then you need to hope that Amari Cooper stays healthy and that, you know, as he gets into his 30s here, he still is an elite player. And down the stretch last year, he was absolutely an elite player. Go back to Christmas Eve in Houston. 265 is an elite player. The guy's special. I do think that Cedric Tillman has a chance to truly step up to be that big body X. I'm not saying he's Michael Pittman, but look at the Colts. I mean, that's the kind of guy that I think the Browns think he can be. I know that's a pretty high bar, but it isn't. He's a third-round pick. He could be that guy. I think they do have enough. I do.
Best of luck with your travels.
Yeah, Andrew, it was very nice. By the way, it was nice of the NCAA and the NFL to get together to make sure that you know that there's two minute timeout in college now.
Yeah.
And you've got tablets on the field, and you've got the headphones and the mic, and earpiece and the thing, so you're good there. And then the Browns were nice enough that they knew you'd have to transition from the green of Oregon to now the green of Cleveland with Huntington Bank Field. So it's all worked out for you. This was all meant to be this weekend.
It is meant to be, and I sometimes struggle with words, and maybe I wasn't as eloquent, but you know, it is truly, truly a bittersweet honor here because that booth is always Jim's, and you know, that video gave me chills last week, and you know, obviously our prayers are with them, and it's we're all with them in this fight here, and yeah, I don't know, I'm kind of.
No, we get it. Yeah. Everyone feels the same way.
We get it.
Safe travels. We'll talk to you Sunday on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
I'll see you Sunday. Have a good game Saturday and Sunday, my friend.
Love you guys. See you.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye. Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
We've reached love you guys. Goodbye. We've reached it. That's the pinnacle.
Aw.
Congratulations.
You've never said that to me.
I will never say that to you.
We're looking at the Browns offense, and we're kind of looking with a critical eye, thinking, who's the key guy here? Not necessarily the best guy, but who's the key guy for this unit to succeed? And yes, we know we started a quarterback, Deshaun Watson. We didn't even have to say anything there. We all know that. Andy thought David Njoku a tight end. That's clear. I went out of the box a little bit. I think it's a tight end who might not even be on this team yet because I think they'll be using three tight ends. I wonder what they do there. At wide receiver, I'm thinking Jerry Jeudy has to really step up and live up to his contract because he's getting paid like a guy who's produced more than he's produced in his career. Andy looked at Elijah Moore. We both think Tillman and Thrash are really interesting guys. And David Bell for Andy.
Mm-hmm.
He is living upstairs, right?
I just think of all these guys that could jump off the page this year, if he gets – like, I'm always about the guy who gets the chance. If Thrash gets the chance, I'm telling you, man, he's got some electricity to him.
I think Tillman's really that guy, more so than Thrash.
We'll see.
But that's okay, yeah. We're both pulling for both of them.
Yeah.
Menigan just shrugged and let out a heavy sigh.
Oh, no. What does this mean?
You okay?
It has nothing to do with the show. Don't worry.
Oh,
okay, good.
Do you need to get it off your chest?
I just thought
you know, from 10
God,
to 2, we
how are... am I stuck with these clowns? I got
to
do something.
With
something better in life.
You two are honestly the bright spot in everything that's taking place.
Something better in life.
It's not just us.
To be your delightful
no, it's
selves.
Not. It's all of our great listeners and all the folks that
running
call
back.
In. And if you need to have a little therapy, we need to step away from the Browns to help you with your woes. We are not only Jeff and I are here for you. Everyone is here for you.
At running back, we have Nick Chubb, who we know is the man, and we're all hoping for a quick recovery and that he's able to get on the field. And when he's back, we know he's the man. But right now, you have Jerome Ford, Deontay Foreman, and Pierre Strong. And, Andy, I'm going to go a little out of the box. I think the key guy there...
Can I guess what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Deontay Foreman.
Pierre Strong.
Oh, wow! I don't even know you anymore.
I know you don't. The reason I say that... I think we have an idea what we're going to get from Jerome Ford. Jerome's a good running back, and he was productive last year. And I have followed Deontay Foreman since he came into the league. I think he's a hell of a running back. And I think he's been underutilized in his career. I mean, he's been out of the league. He's been back. I think he's good. But I also think you know what kind of a back he is. I don't think we know what kind of a back Pierre Strong is yet. And I say that for this reason. He's played two seasons. When he was in New England, he had 10 carries for 100 yards. He averaged 10 yards a carry. In two seasons, only 73 carries, but he's averaging 5.4 yards a carry. With the Browns last year, it was 4.6. And he played in all 17 games. In the 2022 draft combine, he was ranked first among all running backs in athleticism. I think he's a pretty athletic, talented guy. And from the combine, these are just combine rankings, he was ranked fourth overall at the combine in 2022. You think, well, is that any big deal? Well, yeah. There were some pretty good backs in that draft. He was the 10th running back taken in 2022, ahead of Jerome Ford, ahead of Kyren Williams, who is a stud now with the Rams, and ahead of Ty Chandler, who's a pretty highly thought of running back with the Minnesota Vikings. I think you need to find out what you have in Pierre Strong. And if you give him a chance, you're either going to A, know that you have something, or B, know you should move on. And so that's why I think he's the key. I think he could give you, Andy, something that the other guys don't give you, because you have a pretty good idea what you have in Ford and a pretty good idea what you have in Foreman.
This is all about Jerome Ford for me. So I can't. I know you're talking about kind of wishful thinking there, and Jerome Ford's going to have to be kind of a workhorse. I'm not saying that he's got to be the same guy as Nick Chubb, because that's just not going to happen. And you know,
it's unfair to think that it would.
Yeah. So the question is who can hold down the fort hopefully for four games here, right? Isn't that what we're looking at?
No.
Yeah, we're looking at whoever can, and then
you're being very wishful thinking.
Well, I'm saying if you can hold on the fort for four games, then you'll probably then end up being the third down back when Nick comes back. Well, whoever it is.
Are you assuming Nick's coming back after four? Because
yep.
I'm not.
Yep, I'm assuming he's coming back after four.
I'm not.
Did we have a bet on this or no?
No.
Not even a pizza.
I'm not betting on a man's health.
No, I think he's coming. I think he will attempt to come back.
I sure hope so. If he's not ready,
I feel like I gotta take a shower. I'm not betting on a man's health. That's not what I'm saying. I'm confident.
You wanted a pizza ride on that, man. And when you bet pizza, you're serious.
I am. Well, no, I'm serious if I bet
Nick
steak.
Nick Costos will be talking about betting other things.
Betting
coming up
steak
at
would be serious. Betting pizza
that's true.
Is kind of a steak and or pizza and chicken.
Pizza's your second favorite thing in life.
Between that and wings, yeah.
Other than working with me.
I'll show you that list later. I don't really feel like I'm at the Liberty.
All right, Andy says Jerome Ford at running back.
Yeah.
I want to see what they have in Pierre Strong, because I like him. And I think they have a terrific running back group. I really do.
I think
Andrew Berry's done a nice job putting some talented guys in that position group.
Yeah, I don't feel real strong about the running back group. How many 100-yard games?
You really don't?
No. How many 100-yard games do you think we'll see?
Maybe none.
Max three.
Combined? I think you're going to see a lot.
No, single, one back with 100 yards.
It's a combined no-hitter, Andy. It's still no hits.
One back, 100 yards. How many games
how many
we
all
see
year?
That?
Maybe yeah, three.
At three. That's Maybe exactly three. What I thought.
Maybe three. Yeah. And on the offensive line, we're assuming right now that your offensive line is this, at least for Dallas. Jack Conklin at left tackle, Joel Bitonio at left guard, Ethan Posick at center, Wyatt Teller at right guard, and DeJuan Jones at right tackle. To me, the most intriguing guy, the key guy on the offensive line is DeJuan Jones. And the reason I say that, Andy, 6'8", 374, stepped in last year after being almost laughed out of minicamp. Remember that?
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember.
And ended up playing really well. I think this, if he is healthy and starts at right tackle and plays well, I can't imagine him going to the bench. A 24-year-old guy, 6'8", 374, who starts at right tackle or any spot, but in this case it's going to be right tackle. If he starts, plays well, I can't imagine them taking him out. Which to me means Jedrick, Jack, left tackle for one of you. Somebody becomes a swing guy. I just think DeJuan is going to be so difficult to take out if he plays well.
It's funny. You kind of looked at this towards the future. I think the future is now, and
offensive line, I kind of did.
Okay, so
but the other positions, no.
On offensive line, I just need Joel Bitonio, Ethan Posick, and Wyatt Teller to play at their normal standard. That's all I'm asking for. Nothing crazy. If you ask me who's the most important guy, it's not Jack Conklin. Because you're asking key guy. You're asking him to move to the other side and perform at the highest level possible. And then hopefully at some point you'll be asking him to move back to right tackle. So
you're going to send DeJuan to the bench, even if he plays well.
Yeah, I think he's going back. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's quite possible.
Or maybe they give him some work now at left tackle and he'll start to build depth on the other side. Mm-hmm. Although James Hudson's over there. Could you see Jones stepping in front of Hudson? Possibly.
Not right now.
If it meant to be a starter?
He hasn't played left tackle since his first 2 years at Ohio State. Did play it in high school, but he played 170
snaps. That's
more
recent than Jack Conklin has, right?
Yeah, and he played 170 snaps.
So, again, just going back to my original thought, Jack Conklin is clearly the most important and key person on that offensive line because not only are you asking him to switch sides, then you're going to probably be asking him to come back to the right side. He's got to do all of this in the shadows of an injury from last year alone, too. So it's the same kind of deal.
We'll do this little exercise, by the way, on the defense tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Interesting, last year as a rookie, DeJuan only called for 2 penalties, and he allowed only 3 sacks. Hmm. Interesting. Scott is in Bainbridge. Scott, welcome to the show.
Scotty!
How are we doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Wonderfully well.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes. I'm excited, and I'm also irritated. And it's the fan in me, you know, the media is not giving Cleveland any credit.
Scott, you're 100% right, because Jeff and I were talking about that. I mean, 8.5 is the over-under on top of everything else?
Yeah, and, you know, you see teams like San Diego getting the playoff spot and the wild card. Are you kidding me right now? Listen, this team is loaded top to bottom. Obviously, for obvious reasons, Deshaun Watson is the key. Not to really prove himself, just to stay on the field. Just give me 15 games. Give me a whole season. This team is loaded. They're scary loaded. 5-1 as a starter last year. Out of the lineup for several games, leading into, I think, one of the greatest performances in his short term in Cleveland is the Baltimore game.
He was very good in that one, Scott.
Oh, yeah, and half the game he played injured.
He was very – and Scott, thank you. He was very good in that game. 4-1 as a starter, really, because he was out of that Colts game fast. We're going to talk more Browns later. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, joins us at 11:40. We'll get some thoughts nationally about the Browns and talk about that at 11:20 based off of what Nick Kostos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider, tells us at 11. He's back for another season with us, and we're thrilled right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Greg Newsom on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Greg, welcome to the show, bud.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing all right, man. I got to know how you're doing. Obviously, you're coming off the hamstring surgery. How you feeling heading into week one?
Man, I feel amazing. Feel 100%. Body-wise. You know, they did a great job of just keeping my mental good, so... No, and I was able to get back out there on the field, it felt like I never left.
So now we got to ask you the very important question, because we care about percentages in sports. Are you 100% right now?
110, if there is that. Yeah, I'm 110%.
So walk us through that. Obviously, you know, you were at your alma mater. You get banged up there. Is this the most significant injury you've had in your career?
In the NFL, yes. College, I had some a little bit more significant. But, yeah, NFL, definitely I would say this is my most significant one.
So given that it kind of ate into camp and it ate into the preseason, how does that affect you as a player and as somebody, you know, I mean, all humans are creatures of habit, but especially football players, we know you guys like your routine.
Yeah. It was a little challenging at first. honestly, the most challenging part was just not being out there on the field with the guys. But like I said, man, I'm, you know, going into year four, I didn't seen it, seen everything. I know how training camp works. So I knew I would be in a position, you know, to get myself back ready to play. You know, like I said, my coaches did a great job just keeping me engaged in meetings, you know, out there trying to coach the guys on the field. So I feel like I really never left the field. I might not have been there, you know, physically, but, you know, mentally I was out there on the field. So, you know, I'd definitely be ready to go.
Well, we got week one. You got Dallas this week, and there's a lot of talk. I don't know if you know this. There are a lot of Cowboys fans out there, or so they claim. Does it feel like there are more eyes on this game as the opener because you're facing Dallas and because it also happens to be Tom Brady's broadcasting debut?
Yeah, I think it's a multitude of things. You know, we're going against one of the, you know, best or not the best offense in the league. And then, you know, they're coming, you know, to face the best defense in the league. So, you know, I think that's going to bring a lot of eyes in itself. And then obviously, you know, Tom Brady being, the greatest to do it, him being on broadcast is definitely going to put some more eyes. So, you know, we're super excited and we'll be ready for the challenge.
All right. I'm speaking of that rhythm thing, that, you know, ritual thing. I, as a fan, gripe about 4:30 kicks and Sunday night football and Monday night football because I like my 10 a.m., my 11 a.m., my noon. I like my 1 p.m. kickoff. I like my buildup to it. Does a 4:30 Eastern kick time, does that change your rituals and rhythm at all?
Not too much. I wake up around the same time. The only thing that I'll be able to change is that I'll just be able to be around my family a bit longer, you know, before the game. And then, you know, food-wise, I'm going to have to, you know, intake a little bit more, I would say, since it's a later kickoff. But, you know, we live for moments like this. You know, primetime games, you know, every team isn't fortunate enough, you know, to be on primetime a lot. So, you know, when we do get the opportunity to, you know, be on primetime, you know, we got to show up and show out.
Now, see, you stumbled on the food thing, and I happen to be a heavy set person, and so you've wandered right into like the nook and cranny of what I love. I'm curious, like, what does that pregame meal look like? Do you go small on it? Are you just going get all the sugar in the world? Like, how do you build that pregame food ritual?
Yeah, so me, it's you know, when I wake up, just a big bowl of fruit, you know, some berries and things like that. That's pretty much, you know, the basis of what I eat. You know, I get a bowl of oatmeal and things like that as well in the morning. But, you know, now since we do have a later kickoff, I'll keep that same routine and then, you know, throw in a, you know, extra snack probably a little bit before the game. So that's just kind of my pre-game routine. I don't like eating too much. You know, I eat a lot of carbs the night before to fuel my body. And then, you know, in the morning, a lot of fruit and, you know, some oatmeal.
I've always been a carbs in the morning, carbs at night, carbs in the middle of the day, afternoon, yeah. All the different ways they get carbs in there. I like to. Greg Newsom, Browns Corner on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, you know, there is facing Dak Prescott, but your defense is facing Dak Prescott. You are one of the corners that gets to match up one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb at points. What are the challenges of going up against a player like CeeDee?
Yeah, the challenge is, you know, he's a great player. He lines up everywhere. He can run the entire route tree, fast, big, physical, great at the catch point. So he's a great receiver, you know, and we're going to definitely have to just be on our A game. You know, he's one of the most targeted, highest targeted guys, you know, in the NFL. So, you know, at all moments, you know, you got to be ready to go. So it's just being a technician out there and just, you know, accepting the challenge.
When you're watching the film, there's a lot of sports talk scuttlebutt around Dak Prescott. But when you're watching the film, what do you see in Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I honestly don't think people give, you know, him enough credit. You know, he's in a very, very elite quarterback. He can make every single throw. He's big, strong, physical. Yeah, so I just think he's very elite. And, you know, he can make every single throw out there. He's great with his feet. I mean, he could do a lot of things. I don't think people give him enough credit, but, you know, we definitely do.
I will second that. People don't give Dak Prescott enough credit. I underrate the man at your own peril. So one of the big storylines was not just your hamstring injury, but Denzel Ward suffering another concussion here. He's talked about that process, but given that you guys share the cornerback room, given that you guys play – you know, that same position. How much did you guys in the room talk with Denzel about his decision, about where he was in his life after I believe it's the reported numbers, his fifth concussion.
Yeah, we don't really talk too much about that. At the end of the day, we're just making sure that he's healthy and that he knows, you know, we got his back. Other than that, that's all we talk about. You know, he's a man. He makes his own decisions. And, you know, we're going to ride with the decision he makes. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And we're going to, you know, support him out there on the field. So, you know, that's his deal. That's his injury. But I know Denzel Ward, and he's a warrior, and he'll be ready to go as well on Sunday.
So Rodney McLeod was on our morning show earlier this week, and he talked about wanting to be not just the number one defensive back room in the NFL, but the number one trash-talking defensive back room in the NFL. How much weight do you carry when it comes to trash-talking on Sundays? Do you feel like you're the heavyweight champion of the defensive back room?
Yeah, I think I am. And it's not even necessarily what I say. It's just about my actions. You know, just always celebrating, dancing, just bringing a lot of energy. I feel like offenses hate, you know, seeing us celebrating and doing all that. So I think that's all the trash talking, you need. Just having all guys out there just energetic, celebrating each other's success. But, you know, I definitely think I'm the head honcho when it comes to that.
Well, Jim Schwartz has gone on the record multiple times about the importance of that energy that you're talking about and picking up teammates. And if you don't celebrate after a play, that you get it's considered a loaf. I'm curious, was there ever a time last year where Jim Schwartz had to tell you, I need a little bit more celebration out of you?
Nah, not with me. I'm always the one, man, no matter what's happening, no matter if we're down, we're up. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm always going to bring that energy all the time. So, yeah, that's definitely never a conversation with me and Coach Schwartz.
Greg Newsom, Browns cornerback in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. This offseason, the Browns picking up that fifth-year option for you, guaranteeing you that fifth-year option for next year. I'm just curious, what does it mean and what did it mean to you when the organization showed that faith in you by picking up that fifth-year option?
Man, it just shows me, man, that, you know, first, God is great. And, you know, second is just, you know, they have a lot of trust in me, you know, for the future, you know, of this organization that, you know, I was doing some of the right things out there on the field, not just on the field, but, you know, around the locker room. And it feels great to be wanted, you know, especially from the team that drafted you. You know, a lot of guys don't get their fifth years picked up. So, you know, that's just great, and I just hope I'm here long term.
Greg, it's interesting you say that. Obviously, you've got this year's deal, you got next year's deal. When it comes to some of the scuttlebutt around picking up that fifth-year option, there were some rumors out there, some reports out there that the Browns had fielded calls for you. Did that weigh on you at all this offseason, that kind of uncertainty between the fifth-year option and those rumors that were out there?
Nah, because for me, there was no uncertainty. You know, every day I come in here, I'm one of the leaders on the team, and I do, you know, what I'm supposed to do every single day. You know, obviously, AB and them have all the trust in me, so I was never worried about any of those rumors. I think a lot of people see and just make rumors like that when you got such a loaded group and things like that, but nah, not at all. You know, I know my place on this team. I know what value I provide. You know, I'm just super excited to get another run at it with these guys.
So I think this is more of a national mindset. So this is a don't shoot the messenger moment here. But there's some national scuttlebutt from very smart people that don't think the Browns can repeat what you guys did on defense last year because of the slate of quarterbacks you have this year. Do you guys hear all those doubters about the defense?
Nah, we don't. You know, the only message I could tell them is tune in. And that'll start on Sunday.
So what can we expect differently than year two? Because Jim Schwartz, both Kevin as well, has said, you know, you got to add wrinkles to this so that people aren't knowing what to expect every week. What's different this year?
There's nothing different. We're going to have the same exact mindset, which is an attack mindset. And, you know, we're going to go attack guys every single play. We're going to be aggressive. And we're going to play our style, our brand of ball. So we're just super excited to get another year at it.
So last year you had career highs in interceptions, tackles, passes defended. Pretty darn good season. But if Cleveland knows you the way we think Cleveland knows you here, I'm sure you have another bar you want to get to. So where do you set that bar going into year four?
Man, I really set the bar is honestly, you know, doing whatever the team needs. You know, whether that's me to replicate, you know, those whatever pass defender or interceptions, whether that's me, you know, getting more tackles or whatever the team needs, man, is just to do my job, you know, at a very elite level and see where this team can go. You know, self-accolades, it doesn't mean anything if the team's not doing well. So it's just to, you know, just do my job at the best of my ability and see how far, you know, this team can go.
Greg, given that we've been on this journey with you now going on 4 years here, I'm curious whether you feel like or where you feel like maybe you've changed and maybe you're a little different, whether it's as a player, as a person, you know, from where you were when you showed up from Northwestern 4 years ago.
Yeah, man, I just feel like, you know, I'm not young. Like, I mean, I'm still young, but, you know, I've been in this a long time, so I know what to expect. I know what things to do. You know, to keep my body well. You know, I got different priorities now. You know, I got a baby on the way and things like that. So my mindset has changed. You know, I'm just excited to just, you know, continue to grow and, you know, just be that team player that I've always been.
Well, I always love to hear when guys get to have that baby on the way. This is your first?
Yes.
Oh, man, that's going to be the best. That and here's the thing, that it'll change your perspective. It'll change your life. Only brings happiness and all the good stuff there. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
So I guess as we've talked a lot of here, I'm just curious. I'm starting to get so amped up for this game on Sunday. And, dude, I got like 4 days to go. And I got nothing to do with this energy. I'm curious whether you – I mean, you played football for so long now, more than half your life. Do you still get amped up? Do you still have to check yourself middle of the week because you got days till game day?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that fiery side, anytime, you know, you get out there and play, it's a blessing. So it's definitely trying to stay even keel. You know, we don't have to play tomorrow. We don't have to be perfect today, but just trying to get better each and every day is the goal. But definitely, man, I get amped up for every game, you know, and especially the first one. So definitely during the week, I got to check myself and just stay grounded.
Well, listen, we're so excited to see what you guys do this year. We're excited for this game on Sunday. Keep using these words. Welcome to fatherhood. Seriously, you're going to love it. And thanks again for your time, Greg. Best wishes.
Appreciate it. You have a good one.
Ken Dorsey was speaking, Browns offensive coordinator, today, and was talking about Deshaun Watson, the offense, and reeling in Deshaun versus setting Deshaun free.
The biggest thing that you want to do for these guys is not take away their instincts. You know, some of the best quarterbacks that have been out there, they're the ones who are step out of that box, and those are the guys who make those plays work, you know, when they step out of that box, either with a scramble or, hey, why'd you throw it there? That's not part of the progression versus, well, I saw this, or, you know, just instinctually they have that in them. So there's that balance of staying within the system while also not handicapping them from what they instinctually do best. And so I think that's the big thing, and just understanding, you know, there's going to be plays that he's going to make, some exceptional plays for us that no one else in this league can make. And he's going to be able to do that for us, balancing that with, hey, there's a time to throw it away and move on to the next down. I think it's just a balance you got to strike with these guys and make sure, you know, you don't put the handcuffs on them in too many ways.
Now, there's something that stood out apparently to you. What was that?
It was the idea that there's throws that he can make that nobody else can make. There's plays that nobody else in the NFL can make. When Deshaun came into the league, I think that there might have been some truth to that. He came in the same draft class as Patrick Mahomes. Since he's come in, though, we have Mahomes. We have Josh Allen. We have Joe Burrow. We have Herbert. We have all these other quarterbacks, Lamar, all these guys. What play is Deshaun Watson doing that cannot be done? And I'm a Deshaun supporter. We need to make that abundantly clear, okay?
I should have led with that.
I think Deshaun's going to be good this year, as I bash him right now. But I think Deshaun's going to be good this year. But in today's NFL, what play is he possibly making that we haven't seen done before?
Well, I don't think it's specific. Well, and by the way, you can say the same thing about Mahomes. Like, people say, oh, I've never seen that play before. I watched Brett Favre play.
I've never seen someone do a behind-the-back pass the way Mahomes did in the preseason. That is legitimately a play I've never seen done before.
I've never seen somebody make the behind-the-pass behind-the-back pass, and that it's a completion. I've seen the off-the-ass pass. That's just being a Browns fan. We all watch Brandon Whedon play or Colt McCoy play. But no, I mean, I I don't think that's too hyperbolic. I mean, I think the whole point of what enticed you to trade for Deshaun is those, what was that place? So that's maybe how I define it. When I heard him, I didn't think of like a specific throw across your body, 60 yards into the wind with a sun in your eye and a defender on your legs. Like I didn't, I looked at it more of the, what was that place? Which, that is Mahomes. That is what Deshaun was in Houston.
But it implies a layer above of what we already see from Mahomes and Allen and all these other guys. And that's where he kind of lost me a little bit. I mean, Allen, he probably would have lost me if he just said, I think of him the same way I think of Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or some of these other top quarterbacks. But he was like, nah, he can do above that. He can make these plays nobody else can make. And it's like, can he really? Is that Deshaun? And I'm not asking Deshaun to be that, by the way. I need to make that abundantly clear. I'm asking him to make impressive plays. I don't need him to be the number one quarterback in the NFL, though. That's never what I've needed from him. I need to have confidence that he can make wild plays for sure, but he doesn't have to be a unicorn out there. I just don't know that he can be either.
So we're in an interesting spot where I'm the person saying pump the brakes early in the season because I'm not entirely confident the offense is going to be ready when you hit the field against Dallas or the first couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At the same point, by the end of this contract, do I need to see unicorn? Yeah.
Well, at the end of this contract, hopefully that's 3 more years from now and we get to see that through.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I stop short of saying at some point this year I need to see the unicorn. Probably is the reality, right? Like, you didn't trade for, hey, you can make throws Jared Goff can make. No offense to Jared Goff. You know, you and Geno Smith, right there together with the plays you can make. The reason why you moved on from Baker was because he couldn't allegedly make those plays.
Right.
So, like,
well, what Ken is telling you here is that he's seeing reasons to believe why that's true.
Do you not believe that?
Based off of everything that people that have been out there, because we haven't seen it. I mean, I was out in training camp one day. I can't tell you, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, I think I've made the case before. The last three games we've seen Deshaun play, three best games we've ever seen him play in a Browns uniform. We don't talk about those games as often for different reasons, mainly because the Arizona game, Arizona scored 0 points. The defense was great. Tennessee game, Tennessee scored 3 points. Derrick Henry went for 20 total yards on 11 carries.
Okay, but even
they
there,
were great, but Deshaun was awesome.
But even in what's interesting about that is I think it goes to my theory that the weight is so skewed right now. For most fans listening right now, I do think the unicorn is what they need. I think for the psyche, after the last 2 years, how poorly people think this has gone. And I don't agree with the assessment 100%. It's not gone the way it should have, but I think there's been some loading up on how bad it allegedly looked last year. But like, even in what you just said there, well, in the Tennessee game, that's a bad team. In Arizona, it's like, okay, so we can only count the moments he looked good against good teams.
No,
when
I'm giving him credit for those games. I'm saying he looked great in those games.
Well, but I think that is the theory. Like, getting back to the idea of at some point he damn well better be a unicorn, because I think you were sold a unicorn.
Haven't fans adjusted their expectations, though? We were sold a unicorn. We got him with the idea and the promise of a unicorn. Haven't we adjusted our expectations accordingly?
Well, okay, I have in the intermediate. Long term, no. I'm cool with this year being
I remember
healthy.
Being on the air, Nick, when the deal went down and everything like that, and I was saying Super Bowls with an S. I don't say Super Bowls with an S anymore. We have to, at some point, I mean, you get new information, you see new things, you got to at some point readjust. We can't be living on what the expectation was the moment that he signed.
You and I are in agreement with that, but this is where watching it every day and living it like you and I do is different from where fans are, where fans pop in and out a little bit more.
Sure.
If you were promised a unicorn and you got a donkey, you felt like you got a donkey, I think you'd be pretty disappointed.
All right, well, does it make you feel better that Ken Dorsey saying the unicorn's back on the table? If you took it off like I did, it's back on the table. Ken Dorsey saying he can do things nobody else in football can do, make plays nobody else in football can do. By the way, 24 hours after Deshaun, never talked as confident as I've ever heard him talk. And then for whatever it's worth, his quarterback's coach also went on national radio and spoke about how great he was as well. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's got to give you some hope.
Does it make me feel better? No. Do I think it adds one scintilla more of potential pressure on Deshaun? Yes, and I think that's what's interesting about Ken Dorsey's comments. Jack, CLE512 saying, we've been saying, what was that play for 25-plus years? Yes, a positive affirmation, though. That's what we're going for. We're looking for incredulity on the positive side of things. What do you guys make of Ken Dorsey's over-the-top endorsement of Deshaun Watson?
I guess the part that confuses me, Nick, is that he didn't have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And even yesterday with Deshaun and how confident Deshaun was, he didn't have to say it the way that he did. I wonder why now, because they spent all offseason. Ken Dorsey didn't rave about Deshaun Watson. And even though it was recently, it was a couple weeks ago, he talked nicely on him, but he didn't talk about him in the Mahomes Allen way that he just talked about him today. And I don't know. Did you think maybe Deshaun turned a corner? Do you think something really happened in the previous week?
I mean, we had James Palmer on earlier this week, and he had said that there'd been quiet optimism within the Browns because it felt like Deshaun had found his groove.
I mean, this is loud optimism right now, though.
Yeah.
And well, I think that's interesting, the timing of it.
But can I tell you, when I heard it, I heard the verbose and, you know, he can make plays that nobody can make. I did hear that. I also heard what I think the offense should be. And that is less structure, but enough structure that there's still something there for the other players. Like, structure really is, like an offensive system, like the Kubiak thing. I think that structure is more for the head coach, the play caller, and for the other players in the offense. The offensive line, it's know where you have to be and when you have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receivers, greatly benefits those rhythm throws, those timing throws. I think for a quarterback, though, especially one like Deshaun, and I'm not trying to say like Mahomes, but Mahomes is another one of these guys. Those guys don't do as well in structure. Yes, there is structure around them, but mostly part of what makes them magic is the ability to go out there and it's a play. Well, this guy wasn't here at this time. He wasn't open. Move around and make something happen. Like the
backyard football of it all.
Yeah, but like I don't. That used to be a derogatory thing. Right? Like, that used to be, like, a pejorative you'd say about, like, Johnny Manziel.
We used to always say that about, like, game managers, too, the same way. It used to be looked at as a bad thing. I think now both things are looked at as a good thing these days.
But, like, I think, to me, what I heard is, I still have questions about Dorsey and Stefanski and the give and take of what one guy knows and likes and what another guy knows and likes. And I think we make it out to be, they'll work it out. Yeah, but working it out week one and working it out week 17 are two very, very different working it out and how it might look on the field. But I love to hear, hey, we realize we got to peel back some of that structure so we can let this guy go cook.
It doesn't make you feel bad, that's for sure. Has it changed your expectations for week one, though? Because let's say the light bulb did go off and Palmer's right, and then now there's a reason why all this confidence is happening. Has it changed your expectations then for week one? Because in my opinion, and they're just words. Words don't mean anything in the big picture of it. But when you have this many people speaking the way that they're thinking and the way that they are, I'm going to believe that something did happen in the previous week. Some sort of breakthrough, some sort of something for Deshaun that is drastically different than what we saw with all the reporters coming out and telling us that the offense didn't look particularly good this preseason.
Here's where I think I'm like every other Browns fan out there. I'm done with words. If you had, like, because remember, last offseason, it was, man, wait till you see this offense. Deshaun was out there. Stefanski, AVP, everybody. Oh, man,
But we were out there, too, though. The difference in that, in my opinion, is that I remember year one. I remember walking away from one of the training camps and being like, Jacoby Brissett looks like a high school player. Mm-hmm. He looks like a high school quarterback next to Deshaun Watson. That's how impressive he was in those moments. And we did it again last year, but this year was a completely different tune, Nick.
No, because I think this is a walk softly and carry a big stick year. Like, there is nothing that can happen before 4:25 on Sunday that is going to sway me in any kind of way.
There was no walking softly in what Dorsey had to say, well, and none of what Deshaun had to say yesterday either.
But that makes it the rarity, but it doesn't give me any... It's not all of a sudden like I just turned on the Jets and I've got brown and orange colored glasses. No, to me, like, and I'll be honest with you, guys, one game shouldn't be enough. I've seen a good game from Deshaun. Now, it's been discredited as, well, he played like that against Arizona, or he played that way against Tennessee. I don't know why I made that person sound like a bro. Oh, bro, come on.
But hey, I got the backwards hat on.
I do.
We're broing out right here.
I'm in
it's
the,
okay.
The bro zone. Oh.
The bro zone.
Didn't like it as soon as it left my lips.
I thought you were going to say highway to the bro zone for some reason. It was going to get real.
Don't make me sing the song, because God help me, I will, and there goes our careers. But
songbird of our generation.
But I got to say, like, one game shouldn't be enough. And this is not to say, like, one game shouldn't be enough in the negative or the positive.
All right, well, tell me this. Am I reaching too much? Because I've been a Deshaun Watson supporter for the previous, well, this whole offseason. I'm of the belief that the final three games of last year was enough for me to see that tells me he's still a good football player. I saw it. Passer rating in the 120s in the Arizona game, 110s in the Tennessee game, and we've talked about that second half with the Ravens game until, you know, ad nauseum, right? Like, mm-hmm. Am I reaching here with the idea that because Deshaun's speaking the way he's speaking and Dorsey's speaking the way he's speaking, that I want to buy into that too much. I need this right now before week one against Dallas.
Yeah, probably. I think everybody should just simmer down on this Dallas game. On one end, I still think they should win. I still have sky-high expectations on the defense when it comes to the offense. By October 20th, I need to see the offense. I need to see explosive plays. I need to see 30 points a game. I need to see, you know, people getting their butts out of the seats to cheer.
What did you say? October 20th? So by the time they take on the Bengals?
I'll be honest with you, it probably should be October 13th.
That's going to be seven games into the season?
Yeah. Well, but that's you know what? I'm going to go to the Philly game because I'm going to give you a 5-week grace period to fix this bleep and figure it the hell out. So that being said, will I enjoy a great game from Deshaun on Sunday? Absolutely. But I'll say the caveat will be, all right, we got Jacksonville this week. And then you string three of them together. Okay, it's getting tougher to ignore the momentum. All right, let's see it when you go to Philly. Like, if they hit the ground running, awesome. But the idea that that should be the expectation, because it's all put on Deshaun. Well, it's time. No more excuses. It's like he doesn't have a healthy offensive line. The offensive line's not practiced together all offseason long. You are working in Jerry Jeudy. There is no Nick Chubb. It is a new offense. And by the way, Kevin Stefanski's calling a new offense for the first time in his career. Like, that's a lot of new. And new can lead to complications.
We've seen this team for how many years, though? I know you said it's a lot of new, and there is some new attached to it all, but how many years have we done with this offense, with Njoku, now with Amari Cooper there for the year three of him, the same offensive line we've had forever? This whole team
but health
is,
matters. Continuity on the O-line, being able to practice together, really matters.
We've had the foundation underrated for this team for so long. I mean, think about the different contracts we have for 5 years now. We've had different guys, six, 7 years.
I totally hear you. But when it comes to the O-line, if you go into the season and those guys don't have reps together, it doesn't matter if Deshaun's your quarterback, Baker's your quarterback, Spurgeon Wynn's your quarterback. That'll be one of the things where I go, we got to check ourselves.
We're definitely going to have that for week one.
Well, but that's the thing. We got to check ourselves a little bit here as the offensive line gets settled.
You got Lawrence and Parsons, and you're going to have a brand new offensive line you've never had before.
Yeah, and I think that matters. So again, long term through this season, I need the unicorn. I need a top 12 offense. But I think it's a lot to just say, well, Deshaun better figure it out. There's most Joe Burrow ain't figuring it out with a bad offensive line, no health around him, and his best weapon out. And his best weapon is Nick Chubb, whether we think it's Amari Cooper or not. It's Nick Chubb's the best weapon on this offense that isn't Deshaun Watson. So, all right, the figure it out stuff works when you have everything in your favor. Right now, I don't think there's anything in Deshaun's favor other than he's been here for 2 years.
I get it. I guess I'm just a little surprised. I know this is how we work, right? Most sports talk radio hosts, we take nothing that these guys say. They're just a grain of salt, right? We don't take it as gospel. We don't sit there and genuflect at the altar of Ken Dorsey or anything. I just think it's such a stark contrast based off of what we had been hearing for a month or so. And the fact that we have seen it in the previous 24 hours, that unicorn that we're talking about, maybe they did see something, and maybe I'm just letting myself get all excited for because I need something to get excited about, and I need to believe he's going to be fine week one, because I don't want to sit there and do the same thing you're doing right now. And it's what I might end up doing, by the way, but I don't want to do that, where I'm like, all right, I won't judge him until week five. I'm not going to judge him until we take on the Eagles. I'm not going to judge him until we get enough of the offense in place. I mean, it's what if we take the first couple weeks for granted? It starts to spiral because Deshaun isn't there. You lose some confidence within the team, and then before you know it, we're upstream.
You're already snowballing.
I know.
So my point is not.
I know.
My point is not. Don't judge Deshaun. It is understand that you're grading a work in progress. That is a little different than every week being an indictment on Deshaun Watson. And I think that's more where my head is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.